OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Parshat Ki Tavo. It is also one of the two pre-Rosh Hashanah shows. Let's call it the pre-pre-Rosh Hashanah show. Mirat Hashem, next Thursday, we shall have another. But for Ki Tavo, we have not only that Parsha, we also have the fact that this Motzoi Shabbat, the Ashkenazi communities around the world begin the saying of Slichot, the penitential prayers. The tradition is in Ashkenazi circles, as I mentioned in a previous week, Sfaradim, Eidot Mizrach, have been saying Slichot since the second day of Elul. Ashkenazi community says it the Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night, Sunday morning, before Rosh Hashanah, if there will be 4 days available to say Slichot. If not, it pulls it back to the previous Motzoi Shabbat / Sunday. In other words, there are 4 days of the week that Rosh Hashanah could begin. When Rosh Hashanah is Thursday or Shabbat, meaning Thursday, Friday, or Shabbat, Sunday, then the previous Saturday night gives us at least 4 days of saying Slichot up till and including Erev Rosh Hashanah. And that's when we begin. When Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday, or as this year, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, then from the previous Motzoi Shabbat, we would have only Motzoi Shabbat and Sunday night. Monday night is already Rosh Hashanah, which means only 2 times to say Slichot. The tradition, for various reasons, is to have at least 4 days of Slichot, and rather than count the number of days, the starting point is always on a Motzoi Shabbat / Sunday morning. Let me explain why I say it like that. The prime, optimal time for Slichot is pre-dawn. However, for practical purposes, in order to attract larger numbers of people who are not ready to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, the first Slichot especially is very common to say on Motzoi Shabbat, preferably after Chatzot, after Halachic midnight. Many shuls will do it earlier than that under the same idea of attracting as many people as possible and giving them the opportunity to say Slichot. Here at the Israel Center on Keren HaYesod 22, we have 2 Slichot services. On that first night, this coming Motzoi Shabbat, we have a shiur at 9 o'clock by Rabbi Sholom Gold, followed by Slichot led by Yitzchak Miller at 10 o'clock. And then at 11:15, we have a pre-Slichot shiur by Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Pupko, followed by Slichot at 12:30. 12:32 is Halachic midnight, and that is a prime time, but for practical reasons, many people are not able to stay up that late or get up for that service, and therefore we make it available to them to be able to hear and say Slichot at an earlier time. I hope that is relatively clear. So we're talking about this Motzoi Shabbat, which is the 20th of September, the eve of the 21st of Elul, will begin with Slichot. And I have a selection from Slichot to play for you shortly. But first, let us say Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir HaMa'alot Mima'amakim Kraticha Adonai. Adonai Shema V'Koli Tehiena Oznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmor Yah Adonai Miya Amod. Ki imecha haslicha lema'an tivare. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi ladonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Ki Im Adonai HaChesed V'Harbe Imo Fedut V'Hu Yifdeh Et Yisrael Mikol Avonotav. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael HaNetunim Batzara Uvashivya HaOmedim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha HaMakom Yirachem Aleihem V'Yotzieim Mitzara Lirvacha U'Meafela Leora U'Mishibud Legeula Hashta Ba'agala U'Vizman Kariv Vinomar Amen. When the month of Elul began, most people start to gear themselves towards the upcoming Yamim Noraim, the Days of Awe, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. As I mentioned, Eidot Mizrach Sfaradim, who begin Slichot on the day following Rosh Chodesh, have a saturated concentration during the month of Elul in preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Ashkenazim, who don't say Slichot until this Motzoi Shabbat, still have the shofar blowing of each day to focus them for Rosh Hashanah and LeDavid, Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Psalm 27, to get them into that mood. And there are many things that people do during the month of Elul that gear them towards Rosh Hashanah. To me, personally, when I see the full moon of Elul, and then I see it beginning to wane, I get that extra twist and twinge of impending Yom HaDin, impending Yom HaZikaron, impending Rosh Hashanah. And then certainly Slichot brings you into that. I blow shofar in my shul, and I've been exercising on the shofar most evenings, and that also gives me focus, been learning from certain books, and doing a lot of pondering and introspection, as a lot of people are doing at this time of year. I mentioned earlier that I have a passage from Slichot. Towards the end of Slichot is a list, a poem, a prayer that begins with the same words each sentence, Misha Ana, he who answered, to Avraham Avinu on Mount Moriah, Hu Ya'anenu, may he answer us. He who answered to Yitzchak, who was placed on the altar, may he answer us. Similar to Yaakov, Yosef, our ancestors on the sea, Moshe at Har Sinai, Aharon, Pinchas, Yehoshua, Shmuel, David and Shlomo, Eliyahu, Elisha, Yonah, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, Daniel in the pit of lions, Mordechai and Esther in Shushan HaBira, Ezra in bringing back the exile, and he who answers all of the tzaddikim, the righteous, and the chasidim, v'hatmimim, v'hayisharim, the humble of spirit and the straightforward people, may he answer us. This is part of a petition. When we're standing in prayer, we are not approaching God as only individuals, but we are bringing, I like to call it character references. I am a descendant of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, etc., 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 and we would like you, God, to answer our prayers as you have already demonstrated in answering all of the various people referred to on this list, either specifically or generically. Following that prayer is a small paragraph which continues the theme but switches to Aramaic, and there's a history to it which I'm not going to go into now. The words are Rachmana, the merciful one, De'one la'aniye, who answers poor people when they cry to him, Anena, answer us. Rachmana de'one l'tevire, liba, he who answers the brokenhearted. Tevire is like shvire lev, tevire liba, anena, answer us. And the paragraph continues. Those two sentences that I just read in Aramaic are the words of this song by Surly Williger on his album, Rachmana. As I say about most songs that I play, and especially a song like this, these are not just songs, not just music, but they are heartfelt prayers. if we put our heart in them and our soul in them, may God answer them properly.
Oh, yeah, they know. Hey! Oh, yeah, they know.
Swirly Williger with Rachmana. I neglected to mention earlier that this recording and first broadcast is on the 18th of Elul, 5768, which is also the 18th of September. And we are approaching, as I mentioned, Shabbat Parshat Ki Tavo. Parshat Ki Tavo is a heavy parsha because it contains the Tochacha. The Tochacha is a picturesque description of what will happen if we turn our backs to God. Now, I don't have an accurate count, but I would say there are at least a dozen times in the Torah that we have a certain straightforward deal presented. If you follow God's commands, if you follow my mitzvot, says God, if you follow my ways, if you follow his Torah, then good things will happen. Personal as well as national, communal. If you don't, bad things will happen. That's the short of it. A straightforward if-then, if-then, and followed by, and if not, then something different. Twice in the Torah, in Parshat Bechukotai and this week in Parshat Ki Tavo, we have a quite heavy presentation of that, an expansion of that idea. We have it first in the description of the curses that will be pronounced when the people cross the Jordan River and are standing on Har Kerizim and Har Eval, and the Levim are announcing these curses, and the people are responding by Amen. We have V'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, if you will hearken to God's voice, if you will listen and understand, lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotav, to preserve and do all of his commandments that I am commanding you this day, says Moshe to the people. And as a result of that, God will place you in a superior position to the nations of the world. And then it gives a brief description of various blessings that come, including Baruch Ata Ba'ir uVaruch Ata Basadeh, blessed are you in the city and blessed are you in the field. And it finishes Baruch Ata Bivoecha uVaruch Ata Bitzeitecha, blessed are you in your coming and your going. And all kind of various other promises over a series of verses, mostly communal we're talking about, Yiftach Hashem Lecha et Otzaro HaTov et HaShemayim, God will open up his good treasure, the heavens, and you will have beneficial rainfall, and it will bless your bounty, and you will have this elevated position in the scale of things, in the range of things. That passage is followed by a other side of the coin. The other side of the coin. V'haya im lo tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, if you will not hearken to God's voice, lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotav v'chukotav, to be careful to preserve and to do all of his mitzvot and his laws that I am commanding you this day, then the following curses will come. And it parallels it perfectly. Not Baruch Ata Ba'ir, but Arur Ata Ba'ir. Cursed are you in the city, and cursed are you in the field, etc., etc. And it doesn't stop there. It goes on and on and on and on in such an extremely heavy way that a tradition, a custom developed through the generations, that when we read this portion of the Torah, the Baal Koreh, the one who's reading, lowers his voice, and we are chastised by the fact that this large portion of the Torah exists and has to be read to us every year when we go through the Torah. There are many other places, I say again, where the Torah contains this deal, this, what will happen if we do good and what will happen if we do bad. For example, in the second passage of the Shema, which comes from Parshat Ekev, we have Hoyoim Shamoa, if you listen, and then what happens if you turn your back on God. Bechukotai starts that same way, contains a major tochacha. Next week in Nitzavim, you have another version of that. In Ha'azinu, you have a different version of that. But it all boils down, if you have to boil it down, to these are the strings attached to being part of the Jewish nation. This is not a free ride as the chosen people. This is the deal. And we do not have the choice of saying, let us think it over and come to God and say, we've opted for not making this kind of commitment because the price to pay for non-compliance is too high. Deal is not offered like that. We are the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our forefathers, and we receive the Torah at Sinai, and our predecessors made a commitment to God at Sinai, and that commitment is binding on the Jewish people throughout history, and that translates onto every single Jew throughout history. A Jew cannot say, I'm conservative, so I don't have to do all of those things. I'm reform, so I don't have to do many of those things. I'm reconstruction, renewal, atheistic, secular. There is no such thing. A Jew is a Jew, and a Jew, whether he likes it or not, and hopefully he does like it, and that's a major key in here also, as we'll see in a moment, is committed to the Torah. Now, be very aware of the fact that it is not coincidence that it's right before Rosh Hashanah that we're reading these words. The calendar was built in such a way. The Talmud, the Gemara, says that it was Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe, who brought the people back from Babylonian exile to reestablish the commonwealth in Israel after the destruction of the Second Temple, that instituted the cycle of the reading and organized it so that this tochacha should be read shortly before Rosh Hashanah. Maybe next week I'll mention the other side of that coin, and that it is not the very last reading, the very last Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, because it's pretty depressing. And Nitzavim next week is a much higher beat kind of message. Hold that thought.
I'm Rod Sterling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
You're listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Ki Tavo. We were talking about the Tochacha, the heavy reproach of misconduct on behalf of the Jewish people and the punishments that are in store if that should happen. And unfortunately, our history is checkered with fulfillments of various aspects of the negative side of the coin of observance of God. I want to share with you a contrast. It sort of boils it down to an element which I think we could relate to. At the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo, we have a passage of the bringing of Bikurim, the first fruits, to the Beit HaMikdash, presented in a basket to a Kohen. He places the basket of fruit at the side of the altar, the Mizbeach, and the ceremonial bringing of Bikurim is accompanied by the recitation of the portion of Bikurim, which we won't go into now, but basically it contains a brief history. Our ancestors went down into Egypt, and we grew to a large nation there, and we cried out to God from the oppression, and we came out, and God took us out and brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and here are the fruits. The passage of Bikurim in Ki Tavo concludes, V'samachta v'chol hatov, and you shall rejoice in all of the good, asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha ulveitecha, that God has given you and your household, ata v'halevi v'hager asher b'kirbecha, you, the Levi, the stranger in your midst, meaning to share the bounty which you have with people less fortunate than you. V'samachta v'chol hatov, and you shall rejoice in the good. In the middle of the tochacha, look at the language here. Uva'u olecha kol haklalot ha'ele, and all of these curses will come upon you, God forbid. Ki lo shamata b'kol Hashem Elokecha, because you did not listen to God, lishmor mitzvotav v'chukotav asher tzivach, that you did not listen to the commandments and the laws which he commanded. A moment later it says, tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvtuv levav meirov kol. Because you did not serve God with joy in all of the good that you had. In the space of just a couple of verses, there's sort of an equation or an equivalence made. Turning away from God and not keeping the Torah, and keeping the Torah, serving God, but not with joy. When earlier in the end of portion of Bikurim, the command was, V'samachta v'chol hatov, you shall rejoice in all of the good. Here in the Tochacha, tachat asher lo avad tot Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav, that you did not serve God with joy. I would say we could suggest there are two aspects here. God gave us mitzvot, gave us a way of life. We are bound by a commitment to keep the Torah and do mitzvot and live a life of Torah. We are further commanded to do it with joy, with all our heart and all our soul. Turning away from God, which will bring punishments as threatened and prophesied, comes in two forms: turning our back on God and worshiping other gods, or anything else that's tantamount to doing idolatry, or even worshiping God and serving God, but without that feeling and that element of joy and acknowledgement to God that He is the source of our blessing. Notice this did not say, because you did not serve God with joy when you were downtrodden and when you were exiled and when you were poor. It says, tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvtuv levav meirov kol. Rashi says, meirov kol ba'od shahayalecha kol tuv. When you still had everything good, you did not serve God with joy. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. Serve God with joy. Joy means I'm doing it and I love doing it. Joy means I would not do what God forbids, and I am thrilled to be on that level that my following of God's commands and my avoiding of His prohibitions is done out of a feeling of joy, which is very much related to Ahavat Hashem, love of God. Train of thought, I always think of this. I saw it on the cover of a commentary on Pirkei Avot that I have in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. He used to say, Schar mitzvah, simchat mitzvah. The reward for doing a mitzvah is the joy that one receives from doing a mitzvah. That has always been to me a beautiful statement and a beautiful goal. That I should serve God and serve Him with joy, meaning there is nothing I'd rather be doing. And I do it with a full heart and a full commitment and a smile on my face and a song in my heart. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. That is the prescription. That is the antidote to all of the ills that we have in Jewish society. Serve God with a joy and with a positive attitude that is infectious to other people as well, and we will be on our way to full recovery. I want to change the subject abruptly now and bring us back to the end of Parshat Re'eh, towards the end, on a topic that is very actuali, as they say, actual, in the next week or so. It is the topic of Shmitat Kisafim, the Shmita as applied to money matters, and a document known as a Prusbul. It goes like this, and this is not connected directly to the Shmita of the agricultural society. That Shmita of Karka, it's called, applies in Eretz Yisrael only. The Shmitat Kisafim is universal, all the way across the world. It goes like this. The Torah says, Miketz Sheva Shanim Ta'aseh Shmita. At the end of 7 years, you shall do Shmita. Obviously, that cannot be talking about agricultural Shmita, which has been in effect for the whole year. What it means is monetary Shmita, and it means as follows. A person lends someone else money. A fellow Jew owes him, let's say, $1,000, fill in your currency, dollars, shekels, pounds, whatever. And Shemitah year comes and goes. Now, we're interested in the goes part now. In a little bit more than a week will be the 29th of Elul, Erev Rosh Hashanah, followed by Rosh Hashanah 5769. When Rosh Hashanah 5769 begins, the Shemitah year has come to a conclusion. At that point, outstanding loans are Shemitahized. Now, it's a made-up word. What it means is that a loan that Shemitah year finishes and is still outstanding, the lender cannot insist that the borrower repay the loan. If the borrower comes and says, here's the $1,000 I owe you, the lender has to say that loan has been shmited. It has been nullified by Shemitah, and I have no claim to the repayment of that loan. Practical. If the borrower says, I know, but here's your $1,000 anyway, please take it, you're allowed to take it. It's not considered at all uncouth to take it. In fact, it's considered proper for the borrower not to take advantage of lender and Shmitat Kisafim and repay his loans. But the loan cannot be demanded for repayment. The Torah goes further and says, be careful not to let an element of evil into your heart, that you will say to a prospective borrower, no, you cannot borrow money from me, because you think in your mind Shemitah year is coming to its conclusion, and I won't be able to demand repayment of that loan. So I'd rather not take a chance, and I'm not going to lend it, because maybe the borrower won't come back to me to say, I owe you the money, and maybe he will, and after I say that loan has been nullified, he'll say, okay, thanks, goodbye. Therefore, I am better off, might a person think in his head, not to lend money. The Torah sternly warns us to take care of our less fortunate fellows, and if they need money to borrow, lend it to them. And don't worry about the Shemitah years ending, cutting off that loan. It's one of the things that God asks you to do, to lend if you could afford it, not to withhold a loan as Shemitah year approaches and as its end approaches, and not to be hard-hearted in that respect. However, it was realized somewhere along the line that people, notwithstanding the Torah's admonition against withholding a loan, they were making excuses and they were not lending money close to the end of the Shemitah year. Now, Hillel took advantage of a halachic technicality, which goes as follows. If I have an IOU from a borrower for that same $1,000, and I, before the Shemitah year ends, turn over that IOU, co-sign it, countersign it, whatever, to a Beit Din, a court, then that loan becomes the responsibility of the court to collect, and Shemitah does not nullify that loan. The court can still get payment for that loan after the Shemitah year, without having to say Shemitah interfered with that loan, because it doesn't. This is called Moser Shtorotav Levet Din, one who hands over his documents, his IOUs, to a court. Hillel took that and said, I'm going to make it a little easier, maybe a lot easier, for a lender to feel that he's not going to be taken advantage of, and that he will be able to be repaid from his loans without too much trouble. Let him fill out a document known as a prusbul, signed by a Beit Din, which is three people of eligible background, we'll say. Details you'll have to find out on your own, or read them in Torah Tidbits next week. And the execution of this prusbul takes all loans, personal loans, both the ones that I have documentation from, IOUs, and the ones that were totally oral, and I have no documentation, and makes them ki'ilu, as if I handed them over for collection to a Beit Din by virtue of the statement that I make in this prusbul. This loan is now collectible. And the Talmud teaches us, actually it's a Mishnah in Masechet Gittin, that Hillel's institution of the prusbul brought about a tikkun olam. Ta'azor letaken olam, help repair the problems of the world. Hillel metaken olam im prusbul. Hillel accomplished this with a prusbul because he opened the door to borrowers who had that door slammed shut in their face, notwithstanding the Torah's warning. Now, I have to say that prusbul in our time, without yet a majority of the Jews living in Israel, without yet Shemitah and Yovel in full force, without a Sanhedrin, but Shemitat Kisafim applies only by rabbinic decree. Technically, by Torah law, Shemitah of the monetary system does not apply. But the rabbis said, we want to keep this concept of Shemitah alive, and we reinstitute it even without a Sanhedrin, even without a Yovel in existence. Came the same Chachamim, the same sages, and said, tell you what we're going to do. We made it tough by instituting or reinstituting Shemitat Ksafim, we are going to make a document that will have the power to be as if you handed those IOUs, even the ones you don't have, and even the ones you don't remember, over to a Beit Din so the loans can be collected. This is called a Tikkun Olam. Now, there is an organization in Israel, and I imagine other organizations like it, who are doing the following. They are helping people write a prosbul to protect their loans. They are also taking a fee, which is in the form of a loan that is specifically not covered by the prosbul. That loan gets nullified with Shemitah, thereby allowing the lender to fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitat Ksafim, and the money is lent to poor people who now don't have to repay it because Shemitah interceded. In other words, it's the best of both worlds. It's a protection of loans which really you should be allowed to collect, but the technicality of the rabbinic decree of Shemitat Ksafim makes that not possible. The execution of a prosbul makes it possible. The exclusion of one loan from this prosbul allows the Torah law, which by rabbinic decree is applicable in our time, to continue and thereby fulfilling the mitzvah of Shemitat Ksafim rather than totally circumvent it. If you understood that, fine. If not, you need to read some material on it. I am sure you could find things on the internet, and I hope to have something in the next issue of Torah Tidbits. I would like now to play a song with the timely and sort of unlikely title of Prosbul from the quote that I said before by a performer called Przanski. I don't remember his first name, and I don't have the album in front of me. But it's like a once-in-seven-year song that I could play, and therefore I am thrilled to be able to play this song about Prosbul.
תקן עולם, תעזור לתקן עולם, עולם, אני עולם. תעזור לתקן, לתקן עולם, תעזור לתקן, לתקן עולם, אני עולם. תעזור לתקן, לתקן עולם, תעזור לתקן עולם, עולם, אני עולם. תעזור לתקן, לתקן עולם.
Yeah.
Let me sum it up by jumping to the end of Parshat Nitzavim. God says, I have called as witness the heavens and the earth to say that the path to life and the path to death have been presented to you this day, the bracha and the klala, the blessing and the curse, and you shall choose life in order to live, you and your children, to love God, to listen to His voice, to cling to Him, because this is your life and the days, a lengthening days, to live in the land of Israel as God has promised. On that note, I wish you Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.